Move 20! Move 20!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
Welcome to episode 36 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogue and Adam Johns back in the Hallis Hall closet once again. I was just thinking with all this crap in here that this is a nice table I feel like I should bring home to the new house. This dolly here would have been good for moving over the weekend. There's a lot of useful stuff in here I think we should start borrowing.
There's actually three tables, so I don't know if they would miss one.
Right.
You got the step stool, which is always handy for certain things around the house. But yeah. Plush accommodations here again in the Hallis Hall closet.
This is episode 36 of Intentional Grounding. DeAndre Houston Carson episode. It's like the only thing I got. No one of note has really ever worn number 36.
Who wore last year? Shrad Martin?
Yeah.
He did an interception in the preseason, and then that was it? But he came back, right?
He came back. I didn't really play ever. He was back on the team at one point, yeah. So, yeah, not many key players have ever wore 36, so not a great number, but we'll make this a great podcast for you here on Intentional Grounding. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and read our work at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Please subscribe. Please rate it. Please review it. We appreciate you doing that. All right, so the last week of OTAs, last practice open to us for OTAs. They have one more practice tomorrow. That'll close up the voluntary portion of OTAs. Next week, it's all mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Alshon Jeffrey should be here and is expected to talk with us. I don't see – I mean, some people are concerned that – using the word holdout, this isn't it at all. I mean, franchise tag players stay away from voluntary stuff all the time. But he's going to be the headliner here next year, and it's going to be interesting to see him, see how good a shape he's in. That's the number one thing. I mean, he's been at the Cubs game. He's been to draft town, but we haven't seen him on the field in a long time. You look at Kevin White, the guy's like a physical specimen. He's in shape. What type of shape is Alshon Jeffrey in?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but I imagine he'll be in good shape. He knows that this is kind of a prove-it year.
I would hope so.
And if anything, this next week is kind of a prove-it week for him. Yeah, the pads aren't on. Yeah, it's still mini camp. But it's the last and only time really to show the Bears what he looks like before that July 15th deadline on the contract. So I would think it's in his best interest to show up here in shape, knowing the playbook, which is interesting because it's a new offensive coordinator, familiar with Dow Loggins, but new offensive coordinator, ready to go and playing pretty well next week, having three pretty solid practices.
I don't know if you made this note that I made note this note of today. There was a lot of balls on the ground today. There was a lot of overthrown passes. There was a lot of throwaways.
Number 13 has been dropping a number of passes, yes, in OTAs, I've noticed.
Oh, he dropped a quick slant today. So maybe Jeffrey, they made his big paws out here. You know, he's got those massive hands. You know, that's one of his best attributes. He's a reliable receiver for Jay Cutler. There's a lot of position battles kind of still shaping out, especially at tight end and whatnot. So, I mean, my one final takeaway, I guess, especially with Alshon Jeffrey's presence looming here for next week, is today there were a lot of drop passes, a lot of balls on the ground, a lot of errant throws. Just not a crisp day for the Bears' first offense.
Yeah, I thought the defense dominated once again. Positive signs for this Bears' defense, I think, from what we've seen so far. However, and I was going to ask you what you learned from OTAs. There's not a whole lot of grand conclusions you can make from these non-padded practices. But one of the things I was going to say was I've learned in the last 3 weeks the Bears still really need Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And that's not a surprise. But it just goes to show that, yeah, Kevin White's coming out onto the field now. He's there. But that guy's not going to be your number one this year. It's still going to be Alshon.
I mean, where would you put Jeffrey in the conversation of top receivers? 6, 7, maybe 5? I mean, 5 is probably as high as you could go. Who do you got? Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, keep going. Who am I missing here?
T.Y. Hilton's one of the other guys that got a big contract lately.
Jeffrey's better than
– Well, I agree, but I'm just trying to go off of those recent contracts from last year.
What about the guy in Jacksonville? Hearns? I mean, that deal, in my eyes, has nothing to do with Jeffrey. I mean, they're completely different.
Side note, I traded Hearns for Jeffrey last year in my Dynasty Fantasy League.
Well, that was a good deal. So for you, because Hearns. Oh, you traded for Hearns?
No, I traded for Jeffrey. That was a bad deal.
Bad deal. Bad deal.
And then I turned around Jeffrey for DeMarco Murray and T.Y. Hilton, but then the Cowboys went ahead and drafted Zeke Elliott. So I think I, through a couple trades, diminished my team's strength greatly.
This is why you're in the Halas Hall media room and not in the Halas Hall GM's room.
And to be clear, I'm not even in the media room right now. I'm in a closet. Yes. I'm in the Halas Hall closet.
In the media room, but you're, I mean, he's top five, top six receivers. Yes, there's concerns about Jeffrey's injury history, even though he played all 16 games the previous two seasons, you know, before last year. But he is in that conversation. Is Hearns? I don't know. I don't think he is. He got some good money from Jacksonville, but they give out money. Ridiculous amounts of money down there for whatever reason. That's how they're building their team. But you're right. His presence is missed. But I like to see what type of presence actually comes about next week. I mean, this is a team that has been on record saying they want him here. Dow Loggins said it. John Fox has said it. Ryan Pace has said it. His teammates have said it. He hasn't been here. He's missed a lot.
And for those that don't really quite understand how OTAs work, I mean, it's 3 weeks, 9 practices, 3 practices a week. And actually, they took one off last week, right, and went bowling, I believe. So, but this is all about building the team, building the playbook, and getting those first reps in. I noticed today more team reps than we saw early on. A lot more 11-on-11s today as they kind of install more of the playbook. A lot of this is installation. And they'll go through all that again in Bourbonnais and training camp and reinstall. But this is really where, you know, a lot of the basic stuff gets done. So it'll be interesting to see, again, where Alshon fits in all that. I mean, this has been a 3-week process of getting a lot of these new players comfortable, getting Kevin White more comfortable with this playbook, and he's been out there as the number one guy. And Jeffrey hasn't been here. Now, Jeffrey's the most talented guy, no question, but where is he going to be, and how long is it going to take him to get up to speed? Because like I said earlier, I think it's important that he comes out and it's in his best interest to say, hey, look, I'm still the number one guy here. I'm that important. I slant the field, as something you've pointed out numerous times, and you might want to pay me this money.
You know, you mentioned all this. You know, everybody's trying to build a rapport with each other, chemistry, all those words you want to use in the off season. And yes, the offense, there's a lot of question marks there at various positions, and Jeffrey's absence is part of that. But I look at the defense. We mentioned it was a good day for them here in the final OTAs or open OTAs. They're a louder bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, they got some trash talkers, some swagger. I mean, they are talking trash to everybody, to Zach Miller, to Cutler, to every single running back. We're talking about Jarrell Freeman, Danny Trevathan, even the safeties, you know, have been a little bit more mouthy. It's better to see, because you look at these linebackers that they had last year, and I know I'm a Shea McClellan defender. I can't wait to see him when we go to New England. Whatever. Christian Jones is in a different spot. Those guys just don't have the type of charisma that a Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman have. I mean, look at their energy out there. I know that's
it's a swagger.
Yeah. I know it's a cliche term, swagger, energy, all that stuff. But there is a noticeable difference in how that defense is carrying themselves after every single play, breaking the huddle, all that stuff. There's a different bravado about them.
I think it was frustrating the offense a little bit today, too. Cutler looked more frustrated today, and part of that was just they weren't connecting on a lot of passes, as you said. But I think in some ways it's catching the offense off guard a little bit, that this is a new defense. And we saw a couple scuffles today. Yeah. Cam Meredith got into it with Jacoby Glenn, I think, at one point. And then there was one on the defensive line that involved Eagle Ferguson, I think.
I think that's We've only been to three open OTAs, and I think I've seen Ferguson involved in a couple scrums. I mean, he's a bubble guy. But again, it's all I want to use the word bravado because that's just how they're carrying themselves these days, and the trash talk is loud. You come down to Bourbonnais, you're going to hear this. These barbs. I mean, Lamar Houston, now he's healthy. He wasn't part of OTAs last year. He brings that type of vital. Willie Young, he always has stuff to say.
And Purnell hasn't even been out there this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. The dog himself, bringing that dog mentality. He's not part of this defense. So that whole front seven. And you talk to guys who were here before, like an Eddie Goldman. He feels different with Danny Trevathan and Darrell Freeman behind him. So that's... It's what the Bears wanted. It's something to look forward to. Again, they don't have their pads on, but you can see how disruptive they already can be and how they want to be going against the Bears' number one offense.
And for Purnell, we still don't really know what that timetable is. We haven't seen him out here during OTAs. We haven't had a chance to talk to John Fox throughout OTAs. Not that he tells us much about injuries, but it'll be interesting to see his status next week in mandatory minicamp or if we might not see him till training camp, which is kind of what it feels like at this point. Got to talk to Eddie Goldman today, though, and he's dropped some weight, which I think is a good thing because he came in pretty heavy last year, a little bit out of shape. He said he was at 340 when he came in a year ago. Coaches want him at 325, and he's pretty close to that. So that should allow him to be a little bit more quicker. He doesn't look any weaker, I'll tell you that. I mean, his arm wasn't just bigger than my head. It was bigger than his head, which is saying something. I mean, that guy's still built pretty tough.
Yeah, he is the – you know, they've done so many things to upgrade their front seven, but him, he's like the linchpin up there. He's the nose guard. I think it all starts with him, and he is still a massive human being. I like what he said, that he took too many cheat days last year, a lot of trips to Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, that's part of it's a rookie who's still learning to be a pro, I think. Fox always talks about that jump from year one to year two. You have them in your system for a full year now. They don't have any of this college stuff lingering. He was so good in college. He could take cheat days. He could hang out at Jimmy John's, McDonald's, whatever. Not Panera, because that's too healthy probably, but no more Buffalo Wild Wings for him. He's taking better care of himself. And like you said, he doesn't look any weaker. He looks very good out there. He's that wrecking ball that Akeem Hicks sang about using the Miley Cyrus song. There's a lot of things to be excited about with Eddie Goldman.
By the way, my apologies for trying to sing Miley Cyrus on last week's episode. That did not sound good. So hopefully we didn't get too many people unsubscribing after I did that. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, the third week of OTAs is kind of where things start to slow down a little bit just because we've knocked out most of the storylines the last couple weeks, and now it's really looking forward to next week in mandatory minicamp. And it pretty much just kind of comes down to Alshon next week. Were there any other observations or conclusions that you have kind of drawn up in the last 3 weeks?
Well, here's a story. Adam Hogue saved a life today. This massive dragonfly. We're standing in the sidelines. This massive dragonfly, I want to say as big as my hand. I don't have the biggest hands, but it was enormous, guys. This was like a real live dragon. Comes and lands on me, on my backside. I swat it off. I don't want any of that gunk on these shorts. They're new. I don't want them ruined already by some dragonfly. So I knock it off. It lands on its back. Adam Hogue being the life-saving gentleman that he is, takes his shoe and flips it over. There's my observation from OTA today, because that was, I mean, they're going to have people calling from PETA. I mean, I thought it was good for Dad, Adam, and you saved a life today.
Well, I don't want to give PETA any names, but Zach Zaman did want me to kill it. Yeah. So I did the opposite. Instead of stepping on it, I just flipped him over. And he flew away right away. Yeah. He was just stuck on his back. He needed a little bit of help. And I'm a fan of I don't know, animals. It's not really an animal. That's an insect. Mm-hmm. But he looked like an animal. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, he may have actually been a dragon. may possibly have been breathing fire for all we know. Yeah, that did happen.
I had to give him a good whack. It was enormous. It was enormous.
Well, he kind of startled you more than anything, right?
Yeah. Well, I saw him coming through the cameras, weaving through, landing on my side. I'm like, oh. Off. And then you, being the life-saving PETA member that you are.
Yeah, right. You I don't think a life-saving PETA member is something that...
Here's one observation. Almost as big as that dragonfly, Danny Braverman. You know, the smallest slot receiver. He was impressive today. He turned DeAndre Hall, who I thought has looked pretty good at times throughout these open OTAs. Again, it's very limited, but he is an impressive player to watch because of his strength and whatnot. But Braverman turned him, and the receivers and the tight ends went nuts. I mean, he cut on him hard. He got turned around, spun around, and Cutler found him. Braverman, you know, who was getting some time up. I guess I'm getting too many details out here, but he looked good. Again, that's a couple times where he gets you with a few surprises for being a little guy.
Yeah, I think strength is going to be an issue for him, you know, if he faces any jams on the line. But they're going to line him mostly up in the slot where I think he's going to get free releases. No one's asking him to be a number one or two by any means. And, you know, they can get him out there in the right situations with the right matchups. He's proven to me that he's a bit of a dangerous player in space. So get him the ball, and you know, he might not be running away for touchdowns like he did at the college level, but you know, 10-15 yard chunks, and it'll be interesting to see the reliability and how healthy he can stay because he is a smaller guy.
Look, this is a quick strike offense. You need guys like that. They want Eddie Royal to be like that. A lot of quick screens, a lot of quick decisions by Jay Cutler. They want that ball out fast. Having a slot receiver like Braverman, who could potentially create separation, depending on who he gets lined up against, could be crucial. Because let's face it, with Royal's injuries last year, and I don't know if Royal is truly the slot receiver built in the mold of a Julian Edelman or a Wes Welker. I think Braverman can be. The Bears missed it. They don't have that, and a lot of offenses have that now. So I don't know. We're probably getting way too out of ourselves again. They're only wearing helmets right now, but... He stood out multiple times playing against the ones and twos throughout the three open OTAs, I think.
And Eddie Royal had a maintenance day today. Assume it's not anything big. I mean, he still talked to the media, so. But I guess it's something to keep an eye on. He's got to do everything he can to stay healthy this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year was very disappointing. What did he have a yak of, like 1.2 yards or something like that? There's a lot of quick screens. I know they were trying to figure out different ways for that offense to work because Alshon Jeffrey was in and out of the lineup. A lot of injuries up front. Matt Forte was lost. So, yeah, a pretty down year for Eddie Royal. We'll see what he could be. I mean, you hate to – I think he's on this roster because he's got $5 million guaranteed. But, again, we've talked about this before. I don't think the Bears – that's not the end-all be-all to them.
No, it's not. And if he can't stay healthy in training camp – John Fox has made it pretty clear with the owies and the reliability. You got to be reliable. You have to be able to be on the field. And, you know, I think a lot of us were surprised that Tracy Porter survived training camp last year with all the stuff he dealt with. But obviously they had a pretty good feel of what he could do when he was able to be on the field. And I don't know that Eddie Royal showed that last year. So, yeah, I'd still consider him – somewhat of a bubble guy, and it'll be interesting to watch in training camp. One observation I had from today, both Drell Freeman and Danny Trevathan, and yes, we've probably been giving them a lot of pub here in OTAs because they're the new guys, and they're such an upgrade over what the Bears had in the inside before. But those guys can cover. And Danny Trevathan had a great play on Zach Miller today, step for step, stayed with them, knocked the ball down on a chance – that Miller would probably say he should have had the ball because it was in his hands, but Trevathan knocked it out. So I think that was very encouraging to see an inside linebacker step for step with a pretty athletic, dynamic tight end. Mm-hmm. And the ball was still put in the right spot by Cutler, but he had some ball skills to knock it out of there and make it an incomplete pass. That's a good sign for the defense.
They're going to be such an upgrade. Again, you know, I love me some Shane McClellan, but, you know, that ship has sailed. They are going to be a considerable upgrade. That, you know, they've been productive linebackers. They're not, yes, they're learning Vic Fangio's system, but they've played the position. It's different, I know, but it's still similar to them in so many different ways. they know what they're doing. They've proven themselves. They've won a lot of games. They've made a lot of tackles. They've covered a lot of different tight ends, backs, receivers coming over the middle. It's noticeable, not only on their play, and their, again, their bravado and the way they carry themselves. Two major acquisitions for the Bears. And I really think, yes, it's June. Yes, we've only seen 3 weeks of OTAs, but that defensive front seven for the Bears, yes, there's question marks in the secondary, but the front seven, which is really, you have a good front seven, you can hide up a lot of deficiencies in your secondary. It's a very good group of players the Bears have.
And that's something the Bears haven't had in the last few seasons. It's been a huge, an obvious weakness on that defense is a struggling front seven, and I agree. They should be much better in that area.
Yeah, even the players that aren't household names. Did you see Mitch Unrein blow up that run play? I forget which offensive lineman it was, but Unrein, who's been running, you know, with the ones who came back in the 2-year deal, fits that John Fox mold of everything you want in a football guy, just blew up the entire line of scrimmage. This isn't Eddie Goldman or Akeem Hicks. This is the other guy.
Yeah.
The other defensive end who's holding down the fort until Bullard's probably ready. Just owned. It wasn't Kyle Long. That's the opposite side. Was it Cody White here? Just completely pushed him back into the backfield to make the play.
By the way, I just thought of our next bet that we're going to have to make. Does Shea McClellan make the Patriots roster?
Absolutely. He's got a 3-year deal.
Just kidding. I still can't believe that money they gave him. It's got to be something with Shea. Does he start the opener?
No, he doesn't start the opener, but I guess we'll see. Let's make that bet when we're actually in New England. We see what they're doing. I read some report the other day that he's playing back on the edge, which is probably where he's always should have been, except Lovie Smith and Phil Emery kind of messed up that situation pretty good.
I'm still waiting for my beer, by the way.
I'll bring it to the house, the new place.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, because I used to live just a block away from you, and that beer never showed up. So now that I'm 25 miles away, we'll see if it does.
We're busy men. We have children. We can't just go out drinking every night, Adam. We got responsibilities to wake up to.
Hey, I'm just talking about a six-pack that you owe me. It's very clear. It was in the bet. I got the Portillo's. Yeah, I'm sure I'll see it soon. But all right, that kind of wraps up OTAs.
Damn, Hackenberg.
Your least favorite player in the league, Christian Hackenberg. We'll have a mini camp next week. Plenty to talk about, I'm sure. And then a month off until training camp, which it's crazy that we're already kind of back around on the calendar to summer, and Bourbonnais here soon. It'll be a short couple weeks in Bourbonnais this year as they tacked on some extra days here at House Hall before going to New England, and that's kind of the reality of NFL training camps these days. But next up is mini camp next week. We'll be here. We'll talk about it and kind of wrap up the off-season portion of the year. It goes quickly, and it'll be all about Alshon Jeffrey next week. Early on, because it's been a long time since we've seen him. So episode 36 of Intentional Grounding, a short but sweet one here, DeAndre Houston Carson episode. Guess the Bears' new special teams ace.
Next week then. Bryce Callahan, 37?
Well, there's a guy named Tony Parrish that wore number 37 that I think we might have to go with, just off the top of my head. I'm just thinking it's got to be the Tony Parrish episode, but we'll be back for that. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And please, again, rate and review the podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding there. We appreciate you doing that. We appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you next week for Minicamp.